This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us here on a, gosh, it's almost hot and humid compared to what we've had so far, especially in this radio. But that may be from hot women being in here with me. I'm so easily have that problem. We're going to be talking. Should I talk about that? Should I make those mentions when we're talking about religion in some fashion? Does that get me in trouble already?
Maybe.
Before we start, special thanks out there to the folks at Georgetown Veterinary Clinic and Dr. Donnie Peppard. Several people know, not everyone. Lazarus had a near-death experience, I suppose. We're still watching over him to make sure he's okay. As I've said several times now, my dog Lazarus is apparently not pure plot hound, but also part cat, because I think we have used up the fourth of his nine lives this week. So, but back on to our topic at hand, we will be talking about the organization IMPACT, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. Our guests today, Kristen Sankin and Kim Wilkins, both from the group IMPACT. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you both for being here. Rusty mentioned how next Sunday is Fun Drive Sunday. This show comes from the Fall Fun Drive. Denise Zito made a pledge to Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, and as I have done for however long it's been, 12, 13, 14 years, if you make a pledge of a particular size, we'll be glad to take your topic and help you put it together for the hour on Wake Up Call. Denise Zito did that. She specifically chose this Sunday because of an upcoming event for IMPACT, and therefore here we are. And Kristen and Kim, Denise said, no, I'm not going on the air.
Right.
You two do this.
Yes.
Yep.
So set aside save your dollars for next Sunday and the wake up call. I love my friends on Bluegrass Sunday Morning. I love my friends on Les Temps Purdue. But this hour can use your help, especially. All right, so to our topic, IMPACT, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. Again, our guests, Kristen Sankin, Kim Wilkins. That's a lot of words. Interfaith, I think, is the one that I want to stick with. Interfaith. Tell us a little bit more about IMPACT. Who wants to jump in and just sort of, the mission and where the idea came from?
Sure, I'll jump in. So IMPACT is a grassroots movement with a mission to bring a greater degree of justice and fairness to the Charlottesville, Albemarle area. And we are interfaith in that we have 31 congregations participating. I think that's the latest number that are...
I think it's 32.
32, okay. Mm-hmm. That are Christian-based, Jewish-based, Muslim-based, Unitarian Universalist. We pull from a variety of religious traditions.
All right, so this is a group that has multiple faiths, multiple religions, Christian, variety of Christian religions, as well as Jewish and Muslim.
Yep.
How difficult was it to make this happen? Is this based on something else that happened in California, Colorado, Florida, and was sort of brought into Charlottesville because it seemed like a good idea?
Well, there were... pastors and reverends and leaders in the community back in 2005, I believe, that started looking at how that they saw that there were problems in Charlottesville that they wanted to address. And as individual congregations, you know, they were providing various charities and ways of helping, but they really wanted to go after the root causes of the problems. And so they started a group called Charlottesville Area Interfaith Sponsoring Committee. And I'm not sure exactly how, if they found DART, which is Direct Action Research Training, or DART found them, but that is a group that helps communities bring congregation-based organizing into their community.
Yeah, and to answer the question about whether or not this is going on across the nation, it is. And that's how I got involved in DART. We moved here 2 years ago from Minnesota, and I was really involved in a faith-based community organizing group there called Isaiah. And it was organized not through DART, but through another network of organizers called Gamaliel. And so when we moved to Charlottesville and we started attending the church that we go to, and I heard about Impact, I got really interested because it was something that I found really interesting in Minneapolis where we lived, and to see it on a smaller scale here in Charlottesville was definitely something I got interested in. So it is happening across the country, and some organizations are older than others, but I feel like within the last 10 years, faith-based community organizing has really been taking off.
All right, so we are talking about IMPACT, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together, or what I see as various religions working together for good community needs.
Yep.
Do you join this by your church or...
We refer to congregations, not churches, because there are synagogues and temples and other things. And yeah, your congregation joins Impact. And then when they become a member of Impact, you're a part of the Impact community.
Yep.
What if you don't want to do this, or you belong to a faith, is that the right word? A congregation. If you're a member of a congregation who is not participating, but you want to participate. So how can you, or do you play along or not play along individually?
Well, there's lots of ways to get involved in Impact. The number one way that Impact encourages people to get involved is through their congregation, because it's a very congregation-based approach to the way that we get people to come to our various events, is that we invite by congregation, and then leaders within that congregation invite within their congregation. It sort of falls down from there. But we've also had a lot of people come that are members of other congregations that are friends with people in other churches or in other congregations, and have been moved by that. We have someone that comes to our Impact events with, I go to Charlottesville Mennonite Church, and he's a member of Charlottesville First Assembly Church. And First Assembly isn't a part of Impact, but he's really interested in it, so he tags along with us. So, I mean, the best way to get involved is to find someone who's already involved and sort of get through them. But we're always looking for more congregations to join, and we're always looking for more people who really feel passionate about justice as part of God's call.
What faiths do the two of you represent?
I am currently Mennonite.
Currently? What does that mean?
I grew up Catholic until I was about 10 years old, and then we became Lutheran because my mom wanted to become a pastor, and women can't be ordained in the Catholic Church, so we became Lutheran, and I went to Lutheran College, and then when I married my husband, who is Mennonite, we became Mennonite, and we moved to Virginia, which is sort of a Mennonite mecca in a lot of ways, so it was easy to find a congregation here.
And I'm Lutheran, and currently I'm going both to Peace Lutheran Church as well as Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church, Unitarian Universalist, because the rest of my family is finding a home there.
11:09 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking with Kristen and Kim about the religious organization Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. And one of the reasons that we're able to do that today is thanks to The Backyard for their support at WNRN. Backyard is UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu. They're open for lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Backyard now open on Sundays, serving brunch and then a pub food menu until close. For more information, you can call them at 434-202-8215, thebackyarduva.com. Or on their Facebook page. All right, back to the topic of Impact. Ladies, one of the things that I've discovered is that Charlottesville has some very specific ways of doing things. So bringing together a variety of congregations, is that the way we do things here?
Well, it certainly wasn't when we first started out with Impact. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about the process that we go through. We have an annual process. It starts with what we call a listening process, and that's where all the congregations that are involved hold smaller meetings within their congregations, at houses, wherever, where they can talk about either problems they're facing personally or problems that they see in the community, friends and family are facing, whatever. And then those problems start rising up through the congregation and then into our annual assembly, which is in the fall. At that assembly, three issues that were raised the most get voted on, and we pick on one of those issues, usually one, sometimes two of those issues, to work on. The next phase is in our research phase, and that's where we, once we've gotten the issue, we get a research team involved, and we try to get at least one person from every congregation involved in that research team, and they will go and really dig down into that problem. They'll talk to the people who are affected by it. They'll talk to the people who have been trying to help with it. They'll talk to leaders who can help make changes in that area and come up with eventually a solution to the problem that will then be brought to officials that can make commitments on those solutions at what we call our Nehemiah Action. So, yeah, the very first year we did that, it was a new process for all of us, and we did get quite a bit of pushback of, you know, that's not the way we do things. We also had to learn how we do things. I mean, a lot of us had never been involved in getting involved with local government, so we had to – one big thing for me is that I had no idea that the city and county were such separate entities and that you really had to deal with, you know, two separate entities, because I came from a place where, you know, if you were in the city, you were in the county kind of thing. So it was also a learning process for us of how do you interact with the various parties.
That's Kim Wilkins from the Impact organization. We also have Kristen Sankin here as we talk about Impact again, and also thanks to Denise Zito for making this program come about. Kim, you were talking about the Nehemiah. One of the reasons that we're doing this, thanks to Denise and her fund drive donation back in the fall, is that the Nehemiah Action is mm-hmm. coming up soon. I want to make sure to mention that multiple times for those who want to participate individually or have interest in possibly getting their congregation to become part of Impact. A little brief rundown on what the Nehemiah Action is, and we'll bring it back up again later in the hour.
I can just speak to what Kim has more of the history of it. But the Nehemiah Action is coming up on March 26th, which is a Monday, at 6:30 p.m. at the JPJ Arena. And we're planning on having 1,500 people from congregations across the Charlottesville area gather for the issue that was voted upon this year, which is the unemployment rate for people under the age of 30, which is currently three times the rate of the regular unemployment rate in Charlottesville. And so we'll be addressing that issue and proposing a unique solution that we've been researching this for probably 6 to 9 months, and that's what the action is. We get everyone on the stage and describe what's been going on in Charlottesville in terms of young adult unemployment, and then propose a solution to it. But as far as the history of the Nehemiah Action and where it came from, I think Kim's been involved longer.
Kim, where does the name come from?
So it's from a story in the Bible in the Old Testament. There's actually a book called Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king of Persia. And apparently...
The what?
King of Persia.
No. The what was the job? The what?
Cupbearer. Yes, apparently, okay. Which is very important back then.
Okay.
And
well,
he...
I'd love someone to bring me my cup now.
Don't we all?
I'm just not a king, and I can't afford it.
And apparently, he was a Jew, and he heard from his brother that there was problems in Jerusalem. And he asked the king if he could travel to Jerusalem to help them out. And there were several problems. One of the problems is that the wall had fallen, so they were... being threatened by outsiders, and then they were facing a drought, so they were having a real hard time, you know, just subsisting themselves. And so he went there, and while he was helping rebuild the wall, he heard these protests from people because they had to take out loans to buy food. And as the drought continued, the money lenders were starting to taking everything that the people owned. So they were taking their vineyards, they were taking their orchards, and they were even taking their children as slaves. And so when Nehemiah heard this, he became very angry. And even though he was a cupbearer, so he was pretty important, he decided that the best solution would be to call everybody together. So all the people that were being affected, as well as the money lenders and the priests and, you know, everybody in authority, sort of laid out what was happening and asked the money lenders if they would stop doing this because they were in this, you know, drought situation. And the money lenders agreed in front of the assembly, and then they were able to assure that they committed to the practices that they were going to change. So that's where the Nehemiah actions comes from, is that we're bringing a big assembly together of people so that we all know what the problem is, and we all know that we're committed to making a change.
I actually find it fascinating that in a time, and again, I stand on the outside. I mean, I grew up going to church on a regular basis and have my own religious beliefs, although I don't go to church every Sunday anymore. But I find it fascinating that at a time when the news promotes the difference of congregations and how some religions and some congregations speak harshly of others, that the Nehemiah action and impact has found a way to bring some together. And
yeah,
go ahead.
It's not easy. It's definitely having to bridge a lot of differences and a lot of, and what's interesting is that we're all congregations that are based upon many of the same beliefs. I mean, we all read the same Old Testament. We all read, and it's just the way that's often interpreted is sometimes different. But like the basis for impact is a verse from the book of Micah, which is Micah 6:8. It says, "All that the Lord requires of you is that you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." And that most of us who are part of Impact, that we walk humbly weekly with our God by going to church every Sunday and by going to, you know, text studies and Bible studies, and we love mercy. We do all sorts of things on for the sake of mercy. For we do Salvation Army, we do Pacem, we raise school supplies, and that this is the one thing that our churches do for justice, that, you know, one time a year we gather together and we ask for justice on behalf of our congregants and behalf of the people of the city. And that's all based in scripture, which it is, but it's hard sometimes to read that all in the same way.
But I think that many listeners would say that just because it says that doesn't mean that they personally or their churches behave in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the questions that I have is, are there specific faiths or specific churches that blend more easily together than others? Because I think that even if you stick strictly to the Christians, that there are some faiths that don't mix well, at least in terms of beliefs. And then if you bring in those who have a Muslim belief, or those with a Jewish, of the Jewish faith, do you find that when you go to, and you have meetings about the Nehemiah event, whether it's just the leaders who are meeting together, the sort of executive board, or when you get together at John Paul Jones, that everyone sort of sits in their cliques?
Well, we actually kind of assign people to sit in their cliques to show how many people are coming from each congregation. So, you know, Incarnation Catholic Church will all sit together, and it's to create a sense of community within the congregation, that this is a congregation that's come together. But then we also bridge a lot too. I mean, it's not the main call of Impact to be ecumenical. It's not the main call to sit down and have conversations about our differences and our sameness. Our main call is justice.
Right. Although it is a huge side benefit. I know that my church at Peace Lutheran, that is just one of the very motivating factors, is knowing that you're bringing together all these different peoples of faith. And it turns out, you know, we have much more in common than we have in difference. And so it's the commonality, and it's really the call to justice that's calling us all. And so there might be congregations that aren't you know, maybe they're not feeling that call, and maybe that's why they're not participating yet. But I would say that really, in the meetings and stuff, you don't see differences. You see,
right,
we're trying to solve a problem.
Yeah, that we're people of faith working for justice.
All right, 11:20 here on the Wake Up Call, talking with Kristen Sankin and Kim Wilkins from the group Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together, and their upcoming event, not tomorrow, but a week later, Monday the 26th, the day after Wake Up Call's fun drive, if you want to put it that way, tie them together, Monday the 26th, the Nehemiah Action at John Paul Jones Arena. Whether you'd like to participate individually or don't miss it if your congregation already participates. Let me give you the weather. That's Markets of Tiger Fuel weather forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's mostly cloudy today, 30% chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s, lower 70s in Richmond. Mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain tonight, lows in the low 50s. And then cloudy with a 30% chance of rain tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Right now, clouds outside, but a pretty nice day. 59 in the Valley, 61 in Lynchburg, 56 in Richmond, 55 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support for WNRN coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They're presenting an in-store performance with Infamous String Dusters on Monday, March 19th. You're invited to watch the Grammy-nominated Bluegrass Pickers at Blue Ridge's Charlottesville store at 6 p.m. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have three locations in Richmond. For more store information, go online at brms.com. All right, back to our guests today, Kim and Kristen, as we talk about Impact and a religious gathering to find justice. I believe we've talked about, or the word justice has been mentioned several times. And when I went online, Kim, you may remember, I don't have the official website address. What is that for Impact?
ImpactSeville.com.
Because when I went online to do my homework, I kept reading about justice and fairness. What's the difference between the two, or is there a difference?
Well, I think we'll want to throw that back on you. What do you think the difference is? Because to us, they seem very intertwined, justice and fairness.
I would say that justice comes from a group who creates a legal perspective. Mm. And justice isn't always fairness. Mm. When you have justice, you must follow the words as they have been put together by a group. Fairness can come from the individual.
Hmm.
But justice, to me, seems more of a group decision. I don't know. That's just me, and I made that up on the spot. But I have I have a father who's an attorney.
Oh, okay.
So that may be. And I watch a lot of Law and Order. So, but where does it come from, Impact, when you have justice versus fairness?
Well, so one of the ways I think about it is, I don't know if you've heard of the film Undefeated. Just won an Oscar for Best Documentary. But the coach in it, he is a businessman in Tennessee, and he decided to help volunteer coach this team in the inner city that needed help. And one of the quote, he was on NPR recently, one of the quotes that they asked him, so, you know, what's going on? Do you think things are fair there? And he said, prior to my 6 years at Manassas, that's the name of the high school, I would have...
Just to clear it up, Manassas is a high school in Nashville. That's,
yeah, okay.
That's in a kind of a rough, low-income area. And that's where he went in to coach football.
Right. He said, I would have said we live in a free capitalist society and everybody has equal chances. Now I will tell you that the playing field is not level. And that's sort of been my experience. You know, before I came to this work, I was probably 40 years old, and I you know, my son and I would pass somebody begging for, you know, something on the street, and he'd want to give something, and, you know, why this is going on? And I'd be like, oh, you know, I don't know, and I don't want to really, you know, that's not the way to help them, but I didn't know what was a way to help them. And I felt really like, as an individual, there was not much that I could do to help. And so I felt kind of frozen in place. And so I actually got involved with PACHM at my congregation.
Now, PACHM is the organization. We've had Dave Norris on here in the past a couple of times to talk about PACHM, which is churches hosting homeless individuals for differing times during the winter places to sleep, blankets.
Yeah, it's
some
basically
food,
a homeless shelter that rotates between churches.
Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
Sorry.
That's okay. So, it really did a lot to break down my stereotypes of what homeless people were like, what they were facing. And I had long conversations with someone about how, you know, a big issue in our community was affordable housing, which I had never, you know, really thought about. And soon after that experience, my pastor told me about Impact, and that's how I got involved. And so that's kind of what my experience has been, is that the more you dig deep, the more you can see that the playing field is not level and that there are gaps. And what Impact does is we kind of stand in the gap saying, hey, something needs to happen. We look into the gap, we find out what's going on, and we give solutions that will start closing that gap, versus charity, which is kind of maybe throwing stuff down into the gap to help the people there, or giving a giving a ladder to get out, but not actually solving the problem of why that gap exists in the first place.
Well, yeah, one of the great metaphors that that I've heard in terms of Impact is this idea of going back to root cause. Like, it's, if you stand in a river and you see these people that are drowning in the river and you jump in to save them, that's a heroic thing to do. But to sit there and realize, why are there people floating in the river in the first place? And to go up river and to find the people that may be throwing them in the river, or the ways that they're falling in the river, and be like, well, you know, wouldn't it make more sense to not put them in the river in the first place, so we wouldn't have to be down here and heroically save them? It's a lot of what this work does, is sort of go back to the root cause and figure out, you know, why did this happen? And the answer is usually really complicated. And it takes a long time to understand that. And I don't think any of us claim to be experts, but we try our best to investigate using the tools that we have.
11:27 on the Wake Up Call, as we talk with Kristen Sankin and Kim Wilkins from the group Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. We'll open the phone lines now. If you have a question or a comment, 979-0919. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I'd especially like to hear from someone with your description of the difference between justice and fairness, just how wacky mine was in comparison to others. That's 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, as we talk with Kristen and Kim about Impact. You can also send your question by computer, WNRN-Studio, at the AOL site. And let me thank the folks at Dixon Disposal for supporting the program today. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com. Phone them up, 434-978-2111. Ladies, I want to make sure that we talk about the Nehemiah, I keep wanting to call it the Nehemiah Project, the Nehemiah Action. And why and how you selected this year's topic, or this year's, is it a project? What's the proper word about the unemployment rate for those under age 30?
Yeah, Kim described that a little bit, and I think a great way of thinking about the way that we do our work is as a giant funnel, that at the top of the funnel are all of the issues that are going on within our community that could be addressed. And we have a listening process where a congregation gets together and they all talk about, everyone in the congregation sits down and says, this is what I'm facing right now. Here's my problem. And you hear everything from lack of health insurance to lack of housing to my child's not reading well to I can't find dentures that are affordable. I mean, you hear everything in these listening processes. And then we have a meeting where we put all of those issues up around a room on a piece of paper, and people can go around and put stickers on the one they want to vote for. And then based on that, we narrow it down to the top three most voted for, and we bring that to the annual assembly. And at the annual assembly, we have three issues, and all of the congregations gather, and we have people testify on those issues, and then we vote on an issue. And the issue that we voted on this year was job preparedness for young adults, because we heard a lot of stories from our congregations about people who were graduating from high school and found it almost impossible to find a job, that they were, you know, sort of going around door to door saying, you know, I'll mow your lawn if you need me to. I need something to get some income. And so the more we heard about that, that's what we chose as an issue, as our congregations, we started to investigate that. And indeed, it's true. I mean, part of what we do is after we vote on that, we make sure it's true. We don't want to vote on it and then investigate and be like, actually, this isn't a problem. But this is a problem, in Charlottesville, and that for the first year people have to graduate from high school in Charlottesville, that 18 to 19 range, the unemployment rate is 25%. So one in four people who are recently graduated from high school are unemployed for at least a year. And that was a shocking statistic to us that really, in a lot of ways, our school system and our youth are not prepared to enter the workforce. And as we expanded that statistic to include people under 30, which includes myself, I'm only 27 and my husband is unemployed right now. He got laid off in November, that those numbers grow so that Charlottesville as a whole actually has a really low unemployment rate. Our unemployment rate is one of the lowest in the country. It's about 4.6%. But the unemployment rate for people under 30 is three times that rate. It's 14%. And that was really, really eye-opening for us to hear that statistic and verify that it was a problem. And then our next step from there is to investigate, why is that a problem? Who does it affect? How many people does it affect? And we found that there are about 3,000 people within the Charlottesville area who are under the age of 30 who are unemployed and looking for jobs. And when we looked at why that was, there were a lot of really interesting answers to that. And the one I found most interesting was that a lot of area schools and technical training facilities and certificate programs were training people in jobs that were already overly saturated. So, you know, giving people a degree to be a barber when we've got a lot of barbers here, or to be a masseuse when we've got a lot of people who can massage. Meanwhile, there are areas in which there are huge holes that need to be filled, and there's not a great system of communication between connecting that education, the local education system, to the local workforce. And that was really interesting to us, that there wasn't a whole lot of communication going on there. And we sit down, and the way we gather information and research is that we sit down with people who we know a lot about it. So we sat down with the head of HR at UVA. We sat down with someone from Martha Jefferson. We sat down with someone from UVA Health System. We sat down with people from KTEC and PVCC and all of the local areas that would know something about job creation, and just asked them, pick their brains about what's going on. And some of the things we heard were just shocking, and that for instance, within the health field, there are, from 2008 to 2018, there are going to be 12,000 new jobs created. And that at any given moment, UVA is always looking for RN nurses. So it's a 4-year degree nurse. And right now there have 200 open positions of RN nurses. And at the same time, the average age of an RN nurse at UVA is 58 years old. And so over the next 10 years, there are going to be a lot of nurses retiring, and there's a lot of places that needed to be filled. But a lot of these people who are graduating from high school and who are at an entry level job don't have the education to jump into an RN level position. And so sort of figuring out, well, you know, there are these entry-level positions at the two biggest employers in Charlottesville, which are Martha Jefferson and UVA Hospital. And for these entry-level positions, thousands of people apply for one entry-level position. So a wheelchair pusher opens up, or, you know, someone who's a greeter at a desk opens up, and they don't have to recruit for those positions because there's lots of people who don't have the education and who need a job who are applying for those jobs. And so we started really looking at that and thinking, you know, if this is our biggest employer, and this is the main way into our biggest employer, but the jobs that they really need to be filled are a little higher up. They're not, you know, the wheelchair pushers and whatever. They're the nurses, and they're the certified medical assistants and certified nursing assistants and those people. Like, how can we create that conversation and start that conversation between the health providers and the job providers really in Charlottesville and the local education force, so that we're connecting that in a way so that we're telling kids, you know, if you want to graduate and get a job right away, get the 6-week certificate that allows you to be a certified medical assistant or a certified nursing assistant. And then both Martha Jeff and UVA Health System provide scholarships once you're once you are an employee of theirs. If you want to climb the ladder to become more proficient in your area, so if you want to become a certified medical assistant and then climb, or a certified nursing assistant and then climb up to be an RN nurse, they'll help you get there. But you have to get your foot in the door, and getting your foot in the door is so difficult. And it's often, you know, if there's hundreds of people applying for one entry-level position, how can we get people so that they're applying for those upper positions? And so also those people who are at entry-level positions can sort of start to bump up. If they're educated and they're no longer a wheelchair pusher, but they're moving up to, you know, I don't know the medical profession very well other than what we've researched, but they're moving up to a higher position so that those entry-level things are open. How can we continue that so that we're filling the needs of the hospital? And it's really in the best interest of the hospital. So that's the process we're in right now, is proposing a solution of a coalition between the local, the two main medical job providers, which are Martha Jefferson Hospital and UVA Hospital. And then also the local training centers, so K-Tech, Charlottesville, Marl Technical Education Center, and PVCC, the Piedmont Valley Community College, and the One Stop Center, which is the sort of the big overarching arm of creating, connecting people to jobs. And making that work so that they're having that conversation, and that they're, you know, if UVA says we need X number of CMAs, then K-Tech can say, all right, we'll start teaching those classes now, and we'll start recruiting for those classes. And so that conversation's always going on.
How do you differentiate between, and whether it's dealing with this particular, you've selected, the Nehemiah Action has selected the unemployment rate for those under the age of 30 mm-hmm. as this year's project. Is there a specific method of solution? Is it indirect or direct? Do you do this person to person? Do you, because you mentioned earlier about throwing stuff in the hole to fix the hole, pulling people out of the hole, giving a ladder to let them climb out of the hole. Is there a specific, do you do this person to person only? Do you, tell me more about that.
Well, so we're, no, it's not person to person. We're trying to solve the actual cause of why there's these people having an issue. So just for instance, in some of our past Nehemiah Actions. The first one that we did picked, we actually had two issues that year. That was transportation and affordable housing. And so, for instance, in transportation, what we found is that there wasn't Sunday bus service or evening bus service, so people that needed to get to work at those times were having issues. There was no access to the county social services building, which was across 64. And then there's a community there that didn't have access back into the community to go grocery shopping, so they were having to cross a dangerous intersection. And so as we researched those things, the solutions that we came up with were not to fix, you know, one particular bus route for one person, but to add Sunday bus service to the two most heavily traveled routes, to add night service to Route 5, which goes up to Walmart, I believe.
I believe that's right.
So that, you know, people working in that area could get there, and then to add a new route to the county office building. So it's, you know, we obviously want to make a bigger, we're making a bigger impact than just trying to help individuals individually.
So we're talking with Kim Wilkins and Kristen Sankin about the organization Impact, their upcoming Nehemiah Action, not tomorrow, but a week from Monday. That's Kim Wilkins talking about successes from years past with Impact. Kristen Sankin talking about the challenges of this upcoming project, how to find the solutions, and how they put forth their efforts. 11:40 here on The Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And nearly 2 months after a woman was found dead in Charlottesville's Red Roof Inn, the mystery of her death continues as the man who was found unconscious by her side is at last speaking out. A year ago, group buying with companies like Groupon and Living Social was dominating tech news and had the country in a craze. Is the trend now over? And how has the publishing industry changed in the world of e-books? A local author shares how she makes money with modern publishing. The Hook, a new reopening every Thursday. And thanks to Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting WNRN. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, it's brgtshirts.com. All right, back with our guests today, Kim and Kristen, talking about Impact. Ladies, one of the things that I found especially curious is, and I think I got this maybe, I don't know if I got it from Denise or Kim's email, was that Rob Schilling has spoken poorly of the group. And I'm curious as to what the accusations were. I mean, one of the metaphors that was mentioned earlier was when you see people in the river, you don't just pull them out, but you try and figure out why, how and why they're getting in the river and being put in danger. What would Mr. Schilling have against Impact?
To be honest, I've never listened to Rob Schilling's program. The only reason I know that is because other people in Impact have told me that he will go on the radio show and talk against Impact. So I can't speak to that. I don't know if Kim can either.
No, I haven't either. So
yeah.
Well, let's assume that he has. I don't know why, and I don't say that against Mr. Schilling. We can talk about how producer Sean McCord has spoken poorly
right.
of Impact. You can say how I did it outside of this hour. What would a group such as Impact, how does someone so heavily involved in God's leadership battle against that?
Right.
Do you turn the other cheek?
I mean, it all goes back to that idea of the way that we interpret Scripture, that I think that there are ways of interpreting Scripture that don't deal with justice. And for me, from the way that I've read the Bible in my experience, there are over 300 verses that talk about poverty, and there are over and Jesus mentions over and over again how his heart is for the poor and his heart is for the people who are dejected. You know, Jesus sat down with tax collectors and prostitutes, and that was not popular with the religious people at the time. I mean, the Pharisees and everyone else was like, who is this dude? And to me, that's where my faith lies. That's not where everyone's faith lies. And that may not be where Rob Schilling's lies. And it's hard for us as two people to speak on behalf of Impact as a greater whole, too, because it's 32 congregations, and politically we range from very conservative to very liberal. Both of us were a little nervous coming in here because we were afraid we were going to say something that would offend someone even within our own circle of friends, because it's so diverse. And I think that's actually as a testament to Impact, because I think there are so few ways in our world and in our nation today where you have people talking in a bipartisan way about fairness and about justice. And we're doing it because we have something that's greater calling us together to do it.
I also think that doing justice makes people uncomfortable because you're basically saying we need to change the status quo. And you might be part of that status quo. And so, you know, you're asking. I know that it's definitely affected me. It's not only the changes that we're asking of others, but I need to change myself. So I can see that that could also be an issue, that it's an uncomfortable place to go sometimes.
It is. Someone told me the other day, and it was kind of shocking and eye-opening for me, and I'm still struggling with it, but, Jesus never says in the Bible, and nowhere does it says in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, that you have to be nice. That's not a part of any religious call to be nice. And sometimes justice work is sticky, and it's not nice. And that's not to say that it's okay to be rude or inappropriate for the sake of justice. We certainly don't strive to do that at all. But to stand firm in what we believe to be the best for the greatest number of people.
Well, if you have a variety of faiths and different congregations participating in Impact, by the way, it's impactseville.org. Are there some topics that are discarded because particular congregations don't have beliefs in them or believe that you shouldn't, I'm sorry, but that's too much and we're not going to work to, and the one that comes to mind immediately is because it's been in the news so much is the single parent. I sort of pull that from the abortion stage, but the single mother who never got married, who had a child out of wedlock, and something that may focus very strongly on working towards solving that problem, that some congregations say, nope, that shouldn't have happened in the first place. I am not working on helping someone who made those choices.
I'm not sure that the choices example would be the way, but we do have criteria. We've already talked about our listening process, which is how we bubble the issues up. And when we select issues, they have to be issues that all our congregations can agree upon. They have to be issues that we could feasibly come up with a solution that could be implemented, and they have to be based on justice for people in our community. So those are sort of our criteria for the issues. So ones that wouldn't be supported by all our congregations won't make it.
And an interesting thing that Kim and I were reflecting on is that a lot of those things that wouldn't be embraced by our congregations haven't even come up. So they've never been talked about. They've never been voted on. I mean, the things that people really seem to care about are these other issues that affect them on a day-to-day basis, of, you know, transportation and shelter and education and a job. Those really most basic needs, if you were going to look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that's a lot of what we're addressing is the very bottom layer. So in a lot of ways, it's never come up to have to deal with some of these other issues of that are more touchy within the church, such as homosexuality and abortion and contraception. I think what we found that people really care about and really want to talk about are the most basic needs as human beings and to survive.
11:48 here on the Wake Up Call. Thanks to Harrisonburg's 95.1 for tuning in. You're welcome to call in with your question or comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me thank L. Oppelman's for their support. L. Oppelman's, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, electric guitar packages, and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman's, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. Online, it's loppelman.com. I give the phone number out there again, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, WNRN-STUDIO, for the AOL instant message site. Ladies, Joe from Charlottesville called, would Impact work with other groups such as atheists for social justice?
That's a great question. We actually we had someone come to our latest rally who identified himself as atheist, and he actually came up to one of our speakers because our speaker said in one of his speeches, social justice is a cure for atheism. And he came up to the speaker and he said, you know, I was really offended by that. I as an atheist am here and wanting to support social justice, and my belief is atheism. You know, it kind of took him aback, our speaker. He was like, well, you know, I hadn't thought that there would be atheists here, but thank you for coming. And I'm sorry, I never meant to offend you in that way. And I never meant to call you out or make you feel uncomfortable here. I certainly up until now, we've been a faith-based organization, and I don't think we've crossed that road of what to do about atheism as a belief system. But I think for now we're totally open to it. If you're willing to work for justice, and we do avoid the term social justice because it comes with a bunch of cultural baggage. I mean, social justice tends to be very associated with the liberal left. And that's, again, we are a bipartisan organization. We don't lean one way or the other politically. And so that's why we use the word justice. Because we don't want people to hear social justice and then write us off as a lefty organization, because we're not. So yeah, that's kind of where we stand on that, is that we're still working that out. And I would say, yeah, more power to people who want to join us in any way that they can.
All right, Joe, there you go. Nehemiah Action is next Monday, the 26th. Did I hear 6:30?
6:30 at JPJ Arena.
The doors open at 6.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, we are talking with Kristen Sankin and Kim Wilkins from Impact Interfaith Movement, promoting actions by congregations together. If you weren't here for the whole hour because you were enjoying the day, because you were at church, SeavillePodcast.com. As you were talking about social justice, is that different from scriptural justice?
You know, that's a good question in that... again, we steer clear of the phrase social justice because of the amount of social baggage that it comes with. But
scriptural justice sort of the opposite?
I don't know if it's the opposite. I think
Social justice, you said, takes you to the left. Does scriptural justice take people to the right?
I guess it depends on your view of justice. If you take that legalistic view, it could take you there.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, in terms of the way I interpret justice, it is both legalistic and grace-filled. It is both a way that we are called to behave, and a way that we are forgiven if we don't behave that way.
Does Impact get involved in politics? Sort of like the women who went to Richmond 2 weeks ago on the steps for the bill about abominable. About the ultrasounds,
that
abdominal.
That's a faux pas if I've ever heard of.
Yes, well, I have my own beliefs, as I said earlier.
Well, no, we are not a political organization at all. We are... nonpartisan, we get behind issues, we don't get behind candidates.
But Impact was at Charlottesville City Council not too long ago.
That's right. We will show up to speak on behalf of issues we care about. So, for instance, recently the issue we took on last year was mental health, and we were fighting for a program called Healthy Transitions, which helps people who are freshly out of the correctional system for some reason. And there's a gap there where if you come out of the correctional system and you have a mental health problem, that the way that coverage works for healthcare, you have about a 6-week gap. And so a lot of people who are coming out of the correctional system who have a mental health problem can't get their medications for 6 weeks. And then they end up recidivating, getting back into jail because they have a mental health crisis and commit a crime in some way and then end up back in jail. And what we were fighting for was a program that helps to bridge that gap so that people can exit jail, exit the correctional system, and right away be able to get the medication and the coverage that they need so that they don't recidivate. And in the end, it ends up saving both the city and the county a lot of money. And it's about a quarter of the cost of what it would have saved them. And so we found out that this year Healthy Transition was not budgeted for. And so we had as many people as we could from Impact show up to the Albemarle County supervisors meeting and the Charlottesville meeting to come and just stand and be present and say, you know, this is a program that works, and this is a program that saves you money in the end, and this is a program that benefits us as citizens and benefits sort of the least of us as well, who are struggling with mental health issues on a daily basis.
Right. A big part of impact and what we bring to the table is power in numbers, because we need that power in numbers to work with decision makers and let them know that, you know, these are decisions that a great part of their community stands behind. So we do, you know, we interact with politicians and people who can make decisions and people who, you know, put budgets on the table and things like that. So absolutely, we do that.
11:54 on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Topic today is Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. An organization that has brought together a variety of Christian faiths along with Muslim and Jewish faiths to do goods for our community. Again, another thanks out to Denise Zito. She made the fund pledge during the fall, because on Wake Up Call, if you make a fund a pledge of a certain amount, I will gladly help you put together a show for a topic that is important to you and our community, and I believe that Impact falls into that to that grouping. Kim, I think I saw this on, you sent me some links to some pages to do my homework on, and I loved this title. I hope I'm right with this. The symptom is corruption, but the syndrome is idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I think that's actually my dad's quote.
I thought so, but I didn't want to blame him for it if he disagreed with it. My dad doesn't always agree with the things
I
say.
Right. Yeah, we actually wrote a book together. He's a retired professor of theology. So I think, gosh, can I speak to his quote? You know, I think we like our things. I think we have a very consumer-driven culture. So it is hard sometimes to get ourselves away from that and look beyond what people are trying to sell us and see what the real problems in our community are.
All right. Excuse me. 11:56 here, so just a few minutes left. I think, again, in doing my – this comes from the Impact website, a quote from Pope Benedict XVI, to desire the common good and strive towards it is a requirement of justice and charity. And so my question from that comes is, do all faiths have the idea of common good? Because, again, I go back to – I asked this in a similar manner earlier, but how difficult is it to find – what qualifies as a common good?
I think all faiths do have a basis of a common good. If you look at every faith that exists on the planet, they all have a version of the golden rule, you know, treat others as you want to be treated. And I think that that's a lot of what Impact works for. Do you want a job? Work for other people to have a job. Do you want to be able to have access to a bus that or transportation that can take you to your job? You know, join Impact so that other people can have that too. Do you want teeth? We did a dental campaign a few years ago. Do you want healthy teeth?
And that's true. You know, I think a lot of people don't remember that the free dental clinic? What's the proper name?
Yeah, I think
that came about. I think for many people, reading about it in the paper, I can't remember, but it seems to me that years ago that the woman who the dentist. Who or the executive who was in charge of this from the beginning was on the program. My memory is shot. It was St. Patrick's Day. but for many people, the free dental clinic is just something that, because Charlottesville is so cool, that's, of course, why wouldn't we think of that? I mean, we have Region 10. We have, you know, we have on our own. Well, why wouldn't we have a free dental clinic? But that came from something that Impact put together, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that was in 2008. And when we investigated, there were over 1,000 people waiting on a list. So there were dentists throughout the area who were willing to provide this service, but they had waiting lists. And then a lot of people were using the emergency room as their dental care because they didn't have any others. So since at least from 2011 data, they've seen over 3,500 uninsured patients. I'm sure that data's been increased since then.
But for many people, I think that for those who are listening, and whether it's because you want religion to not be a part of everyday life, because you're an atheist or because you feel that religion has just become involved in too many things in a negative manner, because you're not sure exactly what does impact do, can't they all get to, you know, who couldn't all get together at John Paul Jones if you handed out enough invitations, that I think that the free dental clinic just is a wonderful enlightenment for people who think that Charlottesville is, I can't imagine that anyone would think that that's a negative thing. The bus costs money. There maybe we are doing it for just a handful of people, but some of the other issues, you can find a negative tone towards it. And I'm sure that there are enough people out there that we could more than fill the studio to do that.
But also, there are enough people. I think there's enough people out there that could fill the studio times three to do positive things, too.
And I agree with that. And I probably worded that in a very poor manner. But when you go back to the free dental clinic, to me, that's just this. It's such a greater and larger end result. I find that to be fascinating when I read that, and the great deed of impact to put that together, and hopefully that next Monday, again, 6:30, John Paul Jones Arena for Impact to get together. I hope that the next step is also so rewarding to our community and such a great sphere that everyone looks back on it and goes, wow.
Yeah, if I could put out a plug too, if you work in the medical profession in Charlottesville, and I know a lot of you do, and you think you need better trained people and you need people coming into the system that know a little bit more of what's going on, join us. Join us on the 26th at JPJ and come and just be a part of what we're doing.
All right, it's 12:01. I already overstepped my bounds, but it was easy to do with you ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week, again, Fundraiser Sunday, hopefully. People will call in. You can go online to WNRN.org, make your pledges ahead of time. You can select your show, Les Temps, but I prefer that you do Wake Up Call. Thank you so much.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.